You're listening to WSHC Shepherdstown. This is the Seven Generations Radio Show. And Josh, you're on the air. This is Josh Cutler with the Mayday Project, right?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Okay, you want to talk about it? Now, we're switching subjects here from fracking and natural gas issues in West Virginia to another major issue, which is Lyme disease. I've had Lyme disease myself, went through maybe 6 months worth of an ordeal over it, and maybe I'm one of the lucky ones. I guess I am, because I think I'm Lyme-free, but a lot of people live with chronic Lyme disease, and I think that's what you're going to talk about, right?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, let me turn it over to you and just take it away.
Okay, sounds good. Well, the Mayday Project, primarily what we do is we've been around for about 5 years now, and we're a grassroots organization that specializes in activism and trying to not only educate the general public about Lyme disease, but also work against organizations that are holding faulty guidelines that are preventing patients from getting treatment and blocking research and essentially a cure. So with the area that we all live in, whether it be West Virginia or the D.C. metro area, Lyme is at an endemic level. And because of that, it's brought a lot of awareness to local politicians. Myself, I've had Lyme disease for about 8 years. I went misdiagnosed for two. Being misdiagnosed is a very common thing with the disease because the testing is about as good as a coin flip. New testing needs to be developed. What we've done in the past about 2 years is we've been working with the IDSA, which is the Infectious Disease Societies of America, and they essentially set the guidelines for how Lyme disease is viewed and treated. I believe last year, the CDC quoted they went from 30,000 cases of Lyme disease up to 350,000 cases of Lyme disease in the United States a year, making it the largest growing infectious disease in this country, becoming a real threat to people because it can be very debilitating. So what we've trying to do as an organization is combat the IDSA. They've got some doctors that are on this review panel that are sort of biased. They don't believe in a chronic form of the disease, even though there's a mountain of research that shows, you know, more evidence towards it than not. And what's happening is you have a lot of people in D.C. metro area, even stretching out into the Eastern Panhandle, that are becoming sick, and they're going to their doctors and they're really not getting answers, and they end up developing chronic illness and then eventually finding out that they have Lyme disease. But by that time, they've had the disease for a couple years. So we're trying to work with the president of the IDSA. Right now, their guidelines are up for review, and we're trying to get them to accept current science and medical research, and right now they're fighting that tooth and nail. But we protest them once a year, and then we attend their infectious disease conference and protest that, as well as work with other organizations on legislation and trying to push it, just making sure that we're holding heat to the doctors that are saying that this disease does not exist.
And one thing I understand is a consequence of this denial is that insurance companies are able to get away with not covering it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Because of the way that the insurance companies follow the guidelines, and there's no set treatment for Lyme, that's why we need more research, the insurance companies go off the IDSA's guidelines. So unfortunately, if someone is having success using long-term antibiotics and they are seeing some form of a remission-type state, insurance generally won't cover that based off of the IDSA guidelines. So, I mean, that's if someone is getting better, you know, they can spend $60,000-$70,000 a year trying to go treatment, second mortgages on their house, filing for bankruptcy, just all types of, you know, nightmare scenarios. And this isn't just isolated cases. This is nationwide that we're having this problem.
It seems insane. I had this disease myself several years ago, and the situation was exactly the same as you're describing it now, and I can't believe it hasn't progressed beyond that in those intervening years, because there's certainly so many people suffering from Lyme disease. It's almost everybody, it's hard to find people that haven't had Lyme disease at this point.
Right, exactly. It's very, very scary now, the situation that we're in. It's hard to find someone that doesn't know someone that has Lyme disease. We're not talking about a cousin of a cousin of a cousin. But, you know, my wife or my brother, or, you know, it's become that prominent. And unfortunately, the IDSA is sitting there and digging their feet. And there's tons of conflicts of interest, and all the emerging science and conflicts of interest and stuff like that can be found on our website, themaydayproject.org. But it's a lot of information and a lot to process. But, you know, if you are in this area, even in Shepherdstown, it's you know, make sure that you're checking yourself for ticks. It's a very, very prominent issue. It's at endemic levels, and it's definitely something that the local public health alerts have been on watch, specifically in Loudoun County. They've declared it an epidemic in the county. So,
mm-hmm. And I've just been joined in the studio by a couple of gentlemen, and hopefully your mic is working, if you'll state your name. And
Samuel McJonathan with Bless the Woods Music Festival.
Okay.
Hey, Samuel, how are you?
And state how that's connected with the Lyme operation.
We promote Lyme awareness with the Mayday Project, of course, and then also NatCap Lyme, and have been using our music festival to promote about Lyme disease. And my mother passed away in 2012 from Lyme disease.
Wow. And, sir?
And Dan Morgan, also Bless the Woods Music Festival.
Okay.
Singer for the band Secondhand. And we're just happy to be able to pull everyone together to do something good for people.
Mm-hmm. Very sorry to hear about your mother. I'm sure that was a very tough ordeal, because just a little bit I know about Lyme, and I have seen the, what is it, Under My Skin or whatever it's called, that there's
right.
a film on that that really shows you what a debilitating disease it can be and how it kind of courses through the body and does kind of all kinds of different damage to it, and it's extremely difficult to get rid of once mm-hmm. once it's gotten its foothold. So I personally, I went through a couple rounds of antibiotics. Of course, I went to an acupuncture doctor and who treated Lyme disease, and basically he said, okay, I'll tell you what, you know, if you're in chronic Lyme, I'll treat you, but if you got acute Lyme and you're just coming down with it, you need to get the antibiotics and try to eradicate it. If you, you know, if you're not successful with that, then we'll treat you for a long-term situation, which there's a lot of biologics and all kinds of different methodologies for treating Lyme, because it's such a varied and complex disease. Now you were mentioning the use of antibiotics on a long-term or chronic Lyme situation, and
right.
and that obviously it does help some people. Of course, obviously
yeah.
it's got lots of complications associated with it too.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think that it's cut and dry. I personally don't use long-term antibiotics. I don't believe that they're a cure. I also treat holistically, but as a project, we are trying to progress towards a cure. Long-term antibiotics is a very, very cruel treatment, but we feel that patients should be able to have the right to be treated if they're seeing progression in their health. But we also want emerging science to prevail, and if, you know, that's our primary push. But I personally, and I'm speaking just on my behalf and not on that of Mayday when I say this, I don't personally see enough success with long-term antibiotics to warrant its use. But, you know, we want our doctors, the Lyme doctors that are treating, to treat as they see fit. And there are some severe cases that do warrant long-term antibiotics when they start developing, like, MS-type symptoms. But unfortunately for me and for a lot of people that I've discussed with, I haven't had a lot of luck with long-term antibiotics.
Okay. And Sam and Dan are here in the studio, and I apologize. I haven't caught up with your names yet. Would you talk about the festival coming up and how that's associated with Lyme, and you know, what the money's going to be used for, and what kind of activities, what kind of bands and so forth you've got lined up, and when is that going to take place?
Bless the Woods is June 11th to the 14th this year in Fairplay, Maryland. It's at Woodman of the World Campground, Lodge Number 1. We'll have 3 nights of music and camping. Right now, tickets are $50. You can go to blessthewoods.com, and there'll be $60 at the gate. We started in 2012, the year that my mom passed away from Lyme's. She had Lyme disease for 10 years, and she wasn't treated with the antibiotics in the initial stages, and so just didn't really catch it quickly enough and was misdiagnosed often at Johns Hopkins and many other places. So it's definitely a cause that's very dear to my heart, and you should check out Bless the Woods. We have 31 bands Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening.
June 11 to 14, and it's in Fairplay, Maryland. Where's Fairplay?
Fairplay is just south of Hagerstown.
Okay.
If you go past the Hagerstown outlets, make a right on Lappin's Road, which is where the AC&T and liquor store are on that corner, and then a left on Record Road.
And they can you can get the all the information on this on their website, blessthewoods.com. So that's June 11 to 14. And is this the first year you're having this fundraiser?
No, this is our fourth year.
Fourth year, okay. And you've been pretty successful in the past?
We've learned along the way.
Okay, that's good.
It's growing.
And how is the money used?
So we end up donating a portion of the proceeds to Mayday Project and natcaplime.org.
Okay. And go ahead, if you have further comments, please feel free.
We can just run through a couple of the bands going to be here. Big, huge act from Annapolis, Bumpin' Uglies, playing reggae music. We got Treehouse from South Carolina. Dr. Slothclaw, I'm sure a lot of you in Shepherdstown know who Dr. Slothclaw is, the Kings of Freak Funk. We got our buddies Cheesy and the Crackers coming down from New Jersey. The Nolly Moles from Frederick. It's an amazing lineup. Nonstop good music.
Fantastic. And there'll be camping permitted or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Camping is included in the ticket price as well as parking.
All right. Excellent. So, again, that website is blessthewoods.com. And, Josh, back to you. Do you want to talk further about Lyme disease?
Yeah, I just want to encourage anybody that gets sick in the area, because it is such a big issue, that if you're developing any kind of symptoms that are out of the norm, I mean, if you're young and healthy and just go to randomly having symptoms, to make sure that you bring up Lyme disease to your doctor, even if you test negative, because, like I said, the majority of the tests can be about as good as a coin flip. And also, if you do have Lyme disease in a chronic form, to check out our website. We're trying to rally support as we protest the IDSA. We have different campaigns, but we are trying as hard as we can to push them to put as much pressure from the media, which we've had great success doing, and which ultimately led up to him, the president, opening up the doors to conversing with us. But we just, you know, if people could check out our website, all the science and information is there. If you do have chronic Lyme disease, I would encourage you to, you know, to reach out with reach out to us. We can connect you with some support groups through NatCap. And also, if you want to check out NatCap's website, I believe it's nationalcapitaltickbornedisease.org. If not, you can Google it; it'll come up. But that's pretty much it. I mean, it's such a big issue in the area, and if you are suffering from symptoms, you know, reach out. There's quite a few support groups out there. You don't have to go through this alone.
And once you get beyond the chronic stage, I mean, the acute stage, and you're into chronic Lyme, the symptoms can be so varied that they're misinterpreted as all over the map, from MS to arthritis to brain fog and fibromyalgia and a jillion other types of things. And it's a very, very tricky bug to treat, and not all doctors know how to deal with it. So it's very important to get yourself connected with a group of people, and connecting with folks that understand Lyme and know who the Lyme doctors are and who knows how to treat it, is very important, because you just can't walk in the clinic with chronic Lyme and expect to get any kind of decent treatment, at least not in my experience.
No, unfortunately, they won't take you seriously. And just to give a little bit of my background, like I said, I've been sick for 8 years. I was an engineer for the federal government prior to that, but it becomes a very debilitating disease. I'm 35 years old. I haven't been able to work for almost 6 years. So, it can completely turn your life upside down. And what one of the hard parts about it is it's an invisible illness. So you look perfectly healthy for the most part, and people draw assumptions. So support's really big. Since there's not a set treatment or cure, making sure that you have a good support system around you and staying hopeful and engaging in activism. We need patients to stand up like they did in the AIDS movement and essentially fight for, you know, we're fighting for a cure because they're not doing it on a Capitol Hill and the medical establishment isn't working for us. So, you know, it's really on us as patients. If we want to see a cure, if we want to see better treatment, that, you know, then we need to be able to band together. And there's a lot of big movements and stuff that are going on. And again, all that information can be found on our website.
Do you care to talk at all about what treatments have been successful for you or any of your symptoms?
As far as me, I went from being bedbound for about 2 years. I couldn't shower myself. I was in a wheelchair. I had luck treating, you know, holistically. I did hyperbaric oxygen for a little bit. I did do antibiotics at the beginning. And I believe that there was a small hump that they helped me get over. But now I'm kind of dealing with residual brain fog, fatigue, heart palpitations. It varies day to day how I'm going to feel. One day, you know, I can get up and do a couple things. Other days, you know, I'm glued to the couch. So I personally haven't found a successful treatment that's put me in remission. But, you know, if you're sick, don't give up hope. You know, be your own advocate. You know, if you don't feel like your doctor is doing a good enough job for you, you know, there's plenty of doctors around the area that are, you know, versed in treating this disease. And, you know, while there's not a cure, I believe that, you know, you can obtain some form of normalcy. But, you know, it's going to take a lot of work and it's not something that happens overnight.
Right. And personally, some of the research that I did on it led me to electromagnetic energy, which I found very helpful. I believe antibiotics did help me, but there's also a strange thing called dried earthworms, which this bug has a way of hiding. It forms a biofilm that it encapsulates itself in, and the antibiotics can't get at the bug. And these dried earthworms, it's a Chinese remedy, breaks down the biofilm, and then the antibiotics can get at it. Another thing that I found helpful was electromagnetic energy, which for me was the last treatment that I got, and from that point I never had Lyme again, any symptoms of it. And I was referred to that by someone who was in a Lyme group, said that it had helped them also. And there are books out on that, if I can think of the name, is it Rosner, I believe, is the name of the gentleman.
Right,
he's put
right.
out a couple of books on it, and he declares, you know, forthrightly that electromagnetic energy kills Lyme, and he includes the frequencies that are used to kill this bug. So that's an avenue, but there's so many avenues, and I'll mention another that I'm aware of, and you're probably aware of this one too, which is Booner.
Uses herbs.
Uses the biological herbs. And apparently there's a lot of good that can come from that. I do know a number of people who are on managed Lyme, and some of them live very good lives. You couldn't even tell that they have anything. And it's a matter of whether your immune system has been tapped and triggered early enough to manage the bug, because you wind up basically managing this bug within your body. So you have any further comments? Well, you got the opportunity here. Yeah, feel free.
No, definitely. And I agree. I mean, I'm on a Caldin protocol, which is primarily an herbal protocol. And, you know, I've seen some success with it. But, you know, just encouraging Lyme patients again to, you know, just because one treatment fails, not to give up, not to leave any rocks unturned, because there could be viewers or, people that are listening now that might be discouraged because they've gone through one treatment and they haven't seen success. And unfortunately, the number one killer in Lyme patients is suicide. We've had quite a few deaths this past month in the community. I think we've had 5 or 6 suicides of people that have Lyme disease, that they feel hopeless. They don't feel like there's any hope. They're not going to get any better. And it's a very isolated disease because it's very, you know, very much misunderstood by the medical community.
Well, it makes you feel so miserable, you don't want to be alive. That's part of it.
Right. I mean, one of the doctors that treated me, he used to treat AIDS patients in the 80s and was very successful with that. He said, you know, his AIDS patients would come to him dying, wanting to live, and his Lyme patients come to him living and wanting to die. And I think that speaks profoundly about how how devastating this disease can be in late stages. I mean, it can really bring you down to your core. And unfortunately, it is in long term a killer, and it's just not taken serious by the medical community. But I think eventually what's going to happen, because it's becoming so widespread, is eventually the CDC and the IDSA is going to have such a huge problem on their hands that they're not going to be able to put the top on top of the pot anymore. It's just going to boil over, and it's going to be a mess. So we're hoping to try and get things done, and work with other Lyme organizations and work with the IDSA. We don't, we're not trying to hold them, accountable for criminal actions or anything, which all that stuff's out on the internet. They were investigated by the state attorney general of Connecticut for just some of their conflicts of interest. But we want them to work with us. They want them to recognize this disease, and we want better research towards it and ultimately working towards a cure.
And this is another area where climate change is coming into the picture, because apparently these bugs are spreading further north than they were before. I've been hearing about it moving into Canada, where they didn't really have much of this before.
Yeah.
Sam, did you have some comments?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Josh for taking time on the phone to discuss the progress that they have made. And I thank you very much for the work that you have done, Josh.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys putting on the music festival. I look forward to actually meeting you guys this year.
Oh, excellent. Didn't realize that.
Well, if you have any closing comments, feel free. There's so much you can talk about when you get into this Lyme issue.
Right.
We do have a few more minutes, so if you have any more comments, feel free.
Well, I'd like to thank you also, Joe, for having us on this program and creating more awareness about Lyme disease. It's definitely an important cause. My mom had it for 10 years, and I guess about 5 years into it, was when it really started to affect her mentally, where yeses and nos would be mixed up. Mm-hmm. And you could see the frustration on her face that she knew that she was saying what she didn't want to say.
I certainly understand. Yeah, the fog of that, you don't even, it becomes difficult even to carry on a conversation. It becomes exhausting to actually conduct a conversation. And the thing that I ran into, and I know everybody that has Lyme is going to run into, is the heavy use of antibiotics is going to wind up giving them a lot of side issues with their gut, because it wipes out your microbiota, and you got to start over basically, and you're going to wind up perhaps with invasions of candida, and then you'll wind up with lots of complications from that. So it gets to be quite a type of disease that will just take over your life. And it is a life-changing type of experience. People that go through Lyme, that's a life changer.
Yeah, no, it's the thing with chronic illnesses is when you get sick, you never in a million years think that, oh, this could happen to me. I mean, granted, there's cancer and there's stuff that's deadly. I mean, it generally will knock you out quick. But with Lyme, it's such a long, drawn-out process, and there's no awareness. I mean, you turn on the news and you'll hear about West Nile, and there might be like 50-60 cases of West Nile, nationwide, and don't quote me on that. I'm just, in retrospect, Lyme disease is far above AIDS, breast cancer, all that, and there's no research funding for it. There's no awareness, and it really, really is sad that it's like that. And it is because, the medical establishment is moving slow, and they don't want to accept science. You have these doctors that have digged in so deep, and because of their conflicts of interest, they don't want to be proven wrong. But for Lyme patients that are out there, there is hope. There is a new center for Lyme disease research that's run by open-minded doctors out at Johns Hopkins University. So they are doing research towards, better treatment, testing, and a cure. So I think awareness is getting out there with stuff like the Lyme Challenge and our protests and stuff like that has been in the news. So there's definitely some positive direction in this, more so than I've seen in the past 8 years of being sick, but we still have a long way to go. And, if you have a friend or family member that's sick with Lyme disease and they're too sick to get up and advocate for them, by all means, please, we encourage you, just as your friend has cancer or your mom has breast cancer, it's the same thing. It's the unfortunate part of being an invisible illness. But the community really needs help from, the surrounding people around those that have Lyme disease.
And a couple of comments on prevention. One is, obviously, you know, when you walk in the woods, you got to be careful. You got to check yourself afterward. There are some topical chemicals that you can put on yourself, which they say are not too bad, but some of those kill fish, etc. You got to be careful with them. So there's critters that are good anti-Lyme critters, and one of them is the possum, which apparently wipes out oodles of ticks, because ticks like to get on them, and the possums clean themselves very well, and they devastate tick populations. And the mice are breeders. This is where the nymphs come from, the white-footed mouse, like it is, that the purveyor of these ticks. And so owls, snakes, these are good things. And if you got guinea hens to eat ticks, so much the better. So, but it's something you got to stay on top of. And if you get ticks on you, you know, get them off in a hurry. And if you're worried about it, you can get them tested. Some of the testing can be expensive, but you can get the testing, and it might ease your mind.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, if you're bit by a tick, obviously, you know, you want to save the tick. If you go out, I mean, people are going to be outdoors. It's not a reason to avoid the outdoors or let, you know, let it strike fear into you. But it is a very serious issue. You know, tuck your socks into your jeans. Just simple stuff like that. Wear a hat when you go out. But when you're done, if you take a lint roller and you go over your clothes, because you don't want ticks are going to be on your clothes. You don't want to throw them in your laundry. Next thing you know, you've got ticks running around your house. They hop on your dog, then they hop on you. Just take a lint roller, roll it around your clothes. It'll pick up any loose ticks that are around there. And just be vigilant during the summer. I mean, most people that get Lyme disease don't remember a tick bite. I got mine playing paintball in Loudoun County. I never thought in a million years that a small tick bite would change my life, but it very much can. So with people hunting, with people being outdoors, during, you know, this is the season for it, just be hyper-vigilant about, make sure you check your family and yourself for ticks.
Absolutely. Good advice. So I guess that will conclude it for the day, unless you all have any further comments.
Joe, I appreciate your time.
You're quite welcome. It's my pleasure to do it. And thank you for coming on the air.
Thank you.
Hope to see everyone in the woods in 11 days. And all info is at blessthewoods.com, June 11th to 14th. Thank you very much.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, thank you guys for what you're doing. I really appreciate you guys. And we haven't spoken, so forgive me for, you know, intruding on the airways, but I have a lot of respect for what you guys are doing. And I remember when you guys have started, and I've seen it grown. So you guys are doing a great thing, Sam. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Sam. Right. Thank you, Dan.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WSHC Shepherdstown, and that concludes the Seven Generations radio show. And I will be back, next week, and have another show for you at 11 o'clock next Saturday.